Access number 30,009, Mr. Fred Brett, Reel 3. Now, so what happened next? What company were you put into? Because you joined them, we think about June 51.
Yeah, C.
C company. Now, who was in charge of C company? What characters were there that you...
Oh, the Major was very, very nice. Major Holden. He was very nice.
In what way? What made him a good officer? What were you looking for?
I think the way he spoke to you and treated you somehow that... And later on, when we was in Korea, that you found out what a good officer he was. And there was a officer, and I think his name was Berry. And he said to me, would I like to be his Batman? As he wanted a first-class shot, which he checked the records. And I said, no, I have a job to look after myself. And I think that was one of the worst decisions I ever made. Because when we got to Korea, he was an intelligence officer, an interpreter, so he was never in the line, was he? And that's one of the mistakes I made there.
Why didn't you fancy it? Was that really, you just didn't fancy it? Or you?
No, I had enough to look after myself. I wasn't going to look after somebody else.
Now, any other characters in C Company, amongst the men?
Well, later on, when we was in Korea, yeah, you got to know different people like then. But when we first, I mean, of course, I got my mate Brooksy with me, Homer with me.
They were still there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, did they strike it, I mean, as good as the Northamptons had been? Or better?
Well, later on, yes, you find out that...
What were they doing that? They were rebuilding, weren't they?
Yes, when we formed, oh yeah, and we done all training then.
No,
we done real live ammunition, everything, and then we was out on one scheme, and we was hungry, and we got to stay out all night. So I caught a rabbit, and I got Homer, and I made a fire, gutted it, skinned it, put a stick through it, and I said to Homer, just keep turning it, and we'll see if we can get another one, because that's enough for about four of us. So we went out, and we didn't get another one. When we come back, if you'd have seen it, it was down near the size of a bloody mouse, black as Nougat's knocker. He said he didn't like turning it. A proper Londoner. Yeah, Homer.
And what were you doing on that exercise? You know,
there's an old town in the woods there at Thetford, and we're doing a battle course through there, and we had to go through like if we was really at war.
So it's built a barrier training?
Yes, yeah, we done, you know, I thought it was quite, I used to like anything like that, but some of them used to moan.
So what were the street fighting techniques you were learning?
Well, more or less just standing around corners and firing at what you thought could have been an enemy position and so forth, you know, and the officer was just checking to see if it was right, like, you know.
What about clearing room? I mean, did you use the grenades and that sort of thing, you know?
Oh, we learnt to throw grenades there, yeah, live ones and everything, yeah. Yeah, threw live grenades and that, yeah. And some people got told off because they wanted to throw them different ways to you've been instructed. I mean, some wanted to throw them more or less like a cricket ball. That's it. But you talk different from that.
I thought it was a bowling action.
Yeah, what do you do? But when you throw, that's how they wanted to throw them.
They wanted to throw it, not bowl it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
How were you with grenades?
Oh, I was all right. Anything to do with weapons and fitness, I was very, very good.
Did you do much tactical work there? You know, attacks, fake attacks, that mock attacks, that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, we charged the hills and things like that, you know, make it the enemy was on the hills and through the woods. Yeah, we done all that.
How realistic was it?
Not as realistic as when we got to Korea. Not in my opinion. Because we thought it was as fun, because we was too young and innocent and didn't know what war was.
Anything else you did at Thetford? I mean, you know, at the training ground?
No, not really. When we formed and they give us our embarkation leave.
Have you had any injections first?
Oh, that was when we first joined up, when you got all your injections. Oh, yes, before we went, we did. They gave us an injection, And if I remember right, they unscrewed it and put another one on and gave you another injection, so taking the needle out. Yes, and a lot of people fainted on that.
Is that what they were?
No, they were for all sorts.
Did it have any effect on you? Because, you know, some of them cause us...
None at all, none at all. The only ones was when we first went in, when they gave you the infection, made your arm stiff, that's all.
Anything else before you went?
No, we had a embarkation leave.
Anything special about that? Just went home again?
I went home, and I said to my mother, I don't want you to come to Southampton. And my father used to go out for a drink every night, and I can honestly say until he died, I'd never ever seen him drunk. And the last thing he said to me was, when I was saying cheer to Mum, call in the Talbot on the way down to the station. And I called into the Talbot, and that's the first time my father ever brought me a pint. And he brought me a pint, and all he said was, keep your head down. Because I was always a bit of a villain, and I learnt later in life what he meant, keep your head down.
You said you were a baron. Well, had you started that then?
I'd started that when I was in Colchester straight away. I'd lend a pound.
Now tell me what it was, because
I'd lend you a pound, but I want £1.26 back. So.
Now why have you got more money than the rest of them?
I've always been a person what carries money. I don't care what's in the bank. As you can see, lay here. If I haven't got money, I'm broke. I don't know what's in that bank. As the wife would tell you, I've got to have money in my pocket. Don't burn a hole in it.
Did you just manage your pay better? Cause you didn't save?
Well, that's it. I'd got some money when I went. I made sure I got enough with me when I went. Then people were short. Oh, yeah, I'll lend you a pound and half a crown back in the pound. I mean, ain't too bad.
And did they always pay?
I never had anybody Welsh.
Did you ever have to do anything to make sure they didn't Welsh?
No, I think my word was enough.
They could see the size of you. They weren't going to
Yes,
you.
Yeah.
Were there many of you barons? I mean, were you known as barons then?
Well, it was just a nickname I call. There was more than one of us about in the army. Like, you know, that you lent out money. They knew the ones who had got a couple of bob in their pocket.
In the company, you mean?
Yeah.
So you were doing that right through?
Oh, well, no, not when we got a career, didn't need it. anymore.
I meant, yeah. Now, anything else before you leave? Did you go from Cromer?
Yes, we did. We went from Cromer Station. Yes, we marched.
And when did you leave?
That would have been September, wasn't it? August, September.
I think it's September.
Yeah, September. I think it was September, late in August, the beginning of September. And we marched to the railway. I remember marching to the railway. And
was there a send-off?
We got to Southampton and got on the Orwell. And the battalion band and the colours was there, and they played for us. And they played Auld Lang Syne. And there was, I think, five or six of us stood together. And three of them, who was with me, they got killed in one night in Korea. So I never like Auld Lang Syne. It always reminds me of it.
And your mum didn't come and send?
No, no way.
You did what you told her?
Yeah. Oh, the mum's on the docks there crying and waving. And
didn't help.
No, I didn't want to see my mum come there.
So, what was the accommodation like? Well, a mess.
On the ship, it was quite good. I mean, on the way out, I was just above waterline, and on the way out, one of the first stops was Egypt. Never forget that.
Hang on. What was the mess deck like? I'll come to Egypt. Hang on. So, you know, you were down on a mess deck at just above water. What was it like? What space did you have? What was it, you in bunks?
Three bunks, one top of the other. And it was quite enough room. Yeah, there was...
You weren't too crowded?
No.
Bit smelly?
Not really. Not really. I mean, you got used to barracks, so it didn't bother you. No, it wasn't too bad. And a deck's where we used to play cards for cigarettes and things like that. And the food was quite good.
What was the food like?
That was all right. I enjoyed the food on there. I thought it was better than what we had when we was in barracks. Yeah, I thought it was all right.
What about seasickness? That's the old problem. I mean, did you have any trouble with it?
I didn't have no trouble. The only thing that stopped me smoking for... Well, I didn't smoke, no, sorry, no, I didn't know, no, it was, what's his name? One or two of them stopped smoking. It just upset them, I don't know, it upset them from, tasted funny, they told me, that I didn't smoke. I didn't smoke until I went to Korea.
What happened then on the trip?
Well, the first stop was Egypt, I think.
Tell us about that.
And
whereabouts in Egypt?
Portside, and we got off, and was walking along. Two or three of us. I think Homer was with me. And this bloke come up and said, do you want to buy a diamond ring? And food choice words, what he could do. And he got a diamond ring and he scratched his car window. And I said, well, only a diamond to do that. So I finished up buying it for 10 shillings and 50 gold flake. And he wrapped it up quick. Don't get this, that and the other. Still a bit green. Got on board ship. And when they said, let's have a look at it, and I opened, the bloody stones had fell out of it. And we'd still got a bit more shore leave, and everyone knew me, and I said, if anyone sees that one-eyed wog, I'll kill him. And everyone was looking for the one-eyed wog, but he'd made his kill. You ain't going to see him no more, are you? Oh, yeah, I got caught on that.
Had he switched the ring then?
Must have done. Must have done. Bit quick. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What did you think of Portside,
Well, I think we had about 6 hours there. So we couldn't go too far. It was interesting. It was something different, you know. I mean, it was like, I couldn't believe it when we got to Aden. And when I looked, blokes walking about there with their ankles, not as thick as my wrists, and I thought, well, how do they walk like that? But you can't believe different things. Yeah.
What did you do at Aden?
Aden... Didn't do... Oh, the Aden, I think that's where we went down onto the beach, me and Homer, and this boy kept saying, cross my palm with silver. And, oh, right, cross his palm with silver, give him a tanner each, I think. And he put his basket down and started to blow, and out come this bloody cobra came up, and we was away. Oh, yeah, we had a coconut and said about getting the milk out. Well, that's easy. I said, look, there's a... iron fence here with a pint on it. So I got up on the wall and I started to do it. And it turned out to be the MP's barracks. And they come flying out after us, so we was gone again. Yeah, me and Homer.
So, although Homer was a bit wet, he got on quite well with
him. Oh, I did, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What was his real name, or do you not know him?
David Smith. Yeah, David.
Did he ever improve as a soldier, or was he always...
Oh, later on. Yeah, later on, when we was in Korea, he did. Yeah, we... Where else did we stop? We had some fun. Oh, when we got to Sri Lanka, Ceylon, then we had a day before and we got our boots out. Now, I'd never forget that we got off, and we all had to change into our boots, take our plimsolls off.
Was this Colombo, or...?
Ceylon.
Colombo.
We got off at Colombo, yeah. Yeah. Colombo it was, yeah. Ceylon. And we got put our boots on. And there's the whole battalion. We all put our plimsolls on. And we marched off the docks. And they got other people on the ship, other soldiers, nothing to do with the Norfolk, to guard them. And we marched, I think, down the aisle around the island. Keep us fit. And when we come back, if you'd have seen all these plimsolls, and everyone finishes up behind their own plimsolls, I'd have loved a photograph of it, of all these plimsolls on the docks. It was quite good, that was. And then when we got to Hong Kong, and we had to stop, and we said, well, why are we going in, you know, for the refill and that? And they said, we've got to wait, because there was still trouble about in the Far East. And we waited for a big destroyer to come up and escort us in. And I thought, oh no, hello, what have we got here now? So yes, that escorted us into Hong Kong. Yeah, and then we went on into Korea, didn't we, from Hong Kong? I don't think we had any more stops, did we?
You went out, did you get ashore at all?
Yeah, yeah, in Hong Kong we did, yeah. We got shore leave every place.
I remember that.
Of Hong Kong. I know that they told us the farther up the hill, the richer you are, if you lived up the hill. And I thought there's some rich people when you look at the mountains up there. Oh, yeah, we didn't do too much. I think we went in one or two bars and just had a drink. But you couldn't go too far because you only got 6 hours, something like that, 8 hours shore leave, and you're dead and miss that ship, do you? Yeah.
Now, so where next? From Hong Kong, Busan?
Yep, Busan. I got off at Busan.
And what was your reception like at Busan?
So I remember there was a band played, and we got on this train, and we went up to Seoul. And as soon as we got off at Seoul, I was called up. I went straight away into the front line as advance party to relieve the RURs. So I was in the line 2 days before the rest came up. You know, there was one or two from each company went up to get the hang of it. I was in the line.
And when would this be? Have you got a date? Is it late October or?
Beginning of October, wasn't it? In October, anyway. It was in October, yeah. Yeah, because I got up
whereabouts
there.
Whereabouts in the line were you? Can you describe where it was? Is it Koeng Sand sector?
I think it could have been. I think it could have been somewhere about there.
It's where they went in.
Yeah.
In October. Sorry.
Yeah, I've been about there. I think it was somewhere about there, yeah. Because I went up, and as I said, I was in the line 2 days after
and
the
what battalion. What were you doing this part of the advance party?
Well, the NCO showed us, you know, how they lived and so forth, and how things worked, everything, you know, the area. So, and where you was going, you know, which company you was coming into them positions. And so you got a rough idea. And I was there exactly 2 days, and I was called again. And that's when I met a good friend, Minard, which you must have met, Corporal Minard. We went on a...
Harry Minard.
Yeah. We went on a NCO's course together. We went straight across to Koori.
So you sort of were separated from the battalion for a while?
Yeah, 6 weeks in Koori.
So while they were in, October, November, you were in Koori?
Yep. We went to Koori.
Tell me about that. What about the NCO's course?
Yeah, we done all sorts of things there, and you were on about a battle course. We'd done a battle course there, and I'd done the battle course, and then I was called to see the officers, see two of them.
Now, what was the battle course like? A bit more
detail. Oh, it was very hard. There was live ammunition, smoke, everything. It was a bit harder than anything I'd seen before, and walls to climb and everything, and it was really pretty hard. And as I said, I'd done it. A lot of people had a lot of trouble. And I was called in front of two officers, and I thought, now what have I done wrong? And they said to me, well, we unofficially, you have broken the record time of going round that. Would you like to do it again tomorrow so we can actually time you? Which I'd done, and I broke the record of going round it. Cause
it was a sort of battle assault course.
Yeah, a proper battle assault course. And I just thought, well, I didn't buy it at all.
And what were you learning about being an NCO?
I think how to treat men and...
How were you taught to treat them? What did they say?
Give them respect. Different things. And don't always bully them. And, hard to remember now, really. I mean, it's just common sense in a way. And different weapons, you know, the weapons we was taught again, you know. Different grenades we had out there to use. I mean, in England, we only had the one. And
so what new grenades did you have?
Oh, I think it was 45. There was funny shaped ones. I can't remember all the names of them now. Oh,
what
yeah.
What did they do?
Well, there was phosphorus grenades we had. I can remember tying some round trees to blow trees down when we was in Korea to get firewood. Oh, there was all sorts of things there, like, you know. And,
How are you being assessed on this course?
Well, there was written when we got it back in what we'd done and different things, and there was officers with us and NCOs, and there was the Americans and Canadians was there as well, because I used to play cards with them at night, and I done very well because I'm streetwise.
So they assessed you on it, and did you pass the course?
Yeah, when I come back, yeah.
Did that mean you were promoted straight away or not?
Yeah, when I come back, yeah, right. Yeah.
So what about, how'd you get on with the Americans?
Well, when we was on the call, sir. Oh, we didn't have nothing to do. It was only at night times where the, like the nappy sort of thing, they was in there, and the Canadians. And
well, tell me about the
gambling. They used to play cards, and they'd like the game of nap, and of course, I could play nap. And I sent my mother and father a terrific parcel home. I got a camp bed, and I tore that to bits to make it all the way round. And I sent my mother a dressing gown with a big dragon on it, all in silk. My father, silk smoking jackets. I sent the seven gods of Japan home. I sent all sorts home in this big box.
Have you won this in games or won the money?
Won the money.
What is NAP?
NAP, a 5-card game, and you just bet how many tricks you can win. So you got 4 or 5 of you, and they're playing against you. If you say, I can win 4 tricks or 5 tricks.
A bit like whist.
Same sort of thing, yeah.
Why did you win, do you think? Is it just, I mean, you're not cheating, are you?
No. I'm very good at cards.
What makes you good at cards, then? Just knowing when to...
Well, yes, you know a pack of cards. I mean, it's the way you play it.
Can you count the cards?
Well, you've all got 5 cards each. It's as simple as that.
You can follow where they were in the...
Oh, that's the thing. You've got to have a good memory of who's got what and what they've played, and that's it. And you can work out what's missing, and... Oh, yeah. I'm not bad at cards.
Anything else about the Kurt? Did you see much of the Japanese?
No, not then, we didn't, no. There was one or two floating about there, but we never had time for anything to do with them. We was always doing something.
So then you'd rejoin the battalion?
Yeah, then we went back to the battalion. Yeah.
And they were still in the same area? You should have been.
I think they was. Yeah, I think it was in the same area. As I said, well, I mean, we'd only been there 2 days, hadn't we, more or less?
So you were promoted. What were you promoted to? Lance Corporal?
Yeah.
And what difference did that make to you?
Not a lot at all. And I was... Then they made me up to Corporal later on.
Well, we'll do that later. So you Lance Corporal then.
Yeah.
I mean, did you find it difficult being in charge of some of your mates?
No, I never found it difficult with anybody, really. No. Because later on, as... If I was going on patrol, everyone would volunteer to come with me if I'm going.
So, you're Lance Corporal. You're still in C Company?
Yeah, C Company all the way through.
Can you describe the positions you were in? Do you know what hill you were on, or what, you know, where C Company were?
I think the hill I think most of us all remember is 327, I think it was. We spent a long time on there.
Can you describe the layout of the positions?
On 327, we had D Company was to our left, Speakman was to our right, who won the VC, and we was in the...
He wasn't with your regiment, though.
No. And we was in a mountain either side, and we was right in the centre, and our position, the C Company... Where I was, my platoon was right down in the front. So anyone going on guard, could do stand two and that, had to come down to our position. And we'd...
What were the defensive positions like? What can you describe the trenches?
Oh, the trenches, I mean... There was just hard work to dig out, because it was all rock. hell of a lot of rocking there.
And then we
lived underground, you know, I mean, dug a hole and...
Hang on, I'll come to the dugouts. What are the trenches? I mean, how deep, how wide?
I suppose, well, oh no, it was only about 2 foot something wide. It was about all. So you just get by one another, and I suppose it was, 4 foot, something like that. About 4 foot, most of them.
Did you have a fire step? A fire step, or not?
No.
You could fire from
the trenches. Yeah, no, we didn't. Not in our trenches.
And duckboards or anything on the bottom?
No, no.
They weren't prone to flooding then?
No, not on them hills, they weren't.
Now, tell me about the dugouts or the bunkers or whatever you want to call them. How were they? Can you describe as much detail as you can?
Well, I dug the first one because they said you've got to dig them in a hurry, and I done most of the digging. I suppose I dug at 6 foot by about 7 foot, and I dug it 6 foot deep, must have been, and I put a shelf above it, so I put logs across and then filled it with soil over the top.
How deep?
About a foot we had over the top of us, so I suppose it was about 5 foot inside there, so you couldn't stand up correctly, but about 5 foot. And then I got some pickets, and I made 2 bunk beds, and I got telephone wire, and shredded them across, and made them like proper beds. Yeah.
And that was for you and...
A Corporal Fairbrass.
So just the two would be under?
Yes, us two was together, yeah.
So you did that when you got back?
Yeah.
And anything else in there? Did you have some sort of makeshift stove?
We made a fire where we had, if you could pinch any petrol up top, and then it dripped through a pipe into a 5 gallon can sort of thing. And everyone what used to come on guard, come past us, do it every time. Would drop a couple of 3 bullets down the chimney. Now, if you was writing home or forgot about it, then they would go off and really make you jump. Oh, because without the rifling, as you know, they can't come through the tin. Just made a hell of a row, and that really used to frighten you, you know, when you was, if you're going to sleep. Yeah. And I remember one morning we woke up, and we'd had the rain, and it all frozen. And I think it was 2 in our battalion, either broke their arms or their legs. And it said right through the line, right across Korea, how many had mishaps, had broken their arms or legs and that when they came out, because it was just sheets of ice.
Now, how cold was it? I mean, you know, because you got there, late November?
The coldest, I think you'll find the coldest night we had was 40 below. And it was always about 30, something like that.
I mean, that's ridiculously cold. I mean, what was it like?
With the gear we had, though, it was quite good. The gear we had, that really wasn't good gear. And when you was, especially if you was on listing patrol and you laid there all night, we had what they called 6 dinner plates. It was when you got up, you laid there because you didn't move, your toe caps was froze to the ground, so when you got up, there was 2 like dinner plates on each toe, 2 on each knee, and 2 on your elbows. So you had like 6 dinner plates to break off when you laid there when it's cold.
It was that cold?
Yeah, well, that was. You couldn't write your name in the snow when it was really cold, if it was something like Humble Dink, because you'd have a rainbow.